So as I mentioned, the Passover will be here before you know it. I believe it'll be 5 weeks from now. And we're going to, in the next few sermons, we're going to talk about the Passover specifically. Today we're going to talk about a question that came up when years ago and occasionally comes up. I know there came a point in time where the question was asked, well, should we keep the Jewish Seder? And aren't we off as far as our understanding of the timing of the Passover? So these were questions that have come up and will come up again. So we're going to go through this and take a look at the subject. And that's why I gave you the handout, so that you can compare the two and see how we observe it, how it was observed in the Old Testament, and how it's observed in the New, and hopefully this will give you some clarification. The third sheet there about the land of Egypt and Goshen and all of that is going to come into play next week. So hang on to that, because you'll probably gain some value from it as you look at it again next week. So as I said, as we prepare for Passover, it's important to remember that the spring Holy Day season reflects back to a number of historical events from which we learn various lessons. And God wants us to recount those lessons each year as we keep the spring Holy Days. The events of the Old Testament where God led Israel out of Egypt have been simulated, have fostered a number of debates and some confusion. So there is some confusion about this. Some Christian groups observe the Passover on the evening of the 15th of Nisan, at the same time as the Jews eat their Passover Seder. And why do the vast majority of Jews observe Passover on the 15th, on the evening of the first day of unleavened bread? Why do they do that? You may not recall, but we did explain how that got started. They also claim that the Passover lambs were slain on the afternoon of the 14th. And they were eaten on the evening of the 15th. That's when the Jews and the Pharisees observed the Passover at the time of Jesus Christ. And the next night, that was the next night after Christ ate the Passover. The Jews teach that the Passover commemorates Israel coming out of Egypt. They believe that the Passover commemorates Israel coming out of Egypt. But is that what the Passover commemorates? So, Jesus Christ told his disciples to prepare to eat the Passover on the night of the 14th. And he was crucified during the daylight portion of the 14th. And as you look at all of this, there are some interesting quotes that we're going to look at here in the gospel accounts. And as you look at as you listen to them, I'll read them to you. They are confusing. And there are answers to them, but we're not going to answer these quotes that are going to create confusion today. So, the first one is found in Mark 14, verse 12. You might write it down and you can look at it later. Mark 14, verse 12. It says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?'" So, it's called the first day of unleavened bread when they killed the Passover. So, didn't they kill the lamb on Passover instead of on the first day of unleavened bread? Why does Mark refer to the day that the lambs were killed as the first day of unleavened bread? Why does he refer to it that way? This is especially confusing because this was the Passover evening that they were preparing for the 14th. You read Mark, we're not going to read it, but you might refer to it. Mark 14, verses 12 through 16 makes clear references to eating the Passover. And we know that Christ introduced the New Testament Passover at the beginning of the 14th. That's when Christ kept it. So did he get it wrong? So why then did Mark refer to it as the first day of unleavened bread? And when the Passover lamb was killed, Mark says it was the first day of unleavened bread. Why was that? Let's go to his next passage I'll read is Mark chapter 26, verses 17 through 19. Mark chapter 26, verses 17 through 19. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. The questions are, why was Christ keeping the Passover one night earlier than the Jews were keeping the Passover? Why was Christ keeping it one night earlier than the Jews? And why did Matthew refer to the day as the first day of unleavened bread? Next verse is found in Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. There Luke says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." And here you might look at this and ask the question, why is the Feast of Unleavened Bread called Passover? When you look at the Old Testament, you find that there are two separate feasts mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. Passover is one of them, and unleavened bread is the second one. They're two separate feasts with distinct meanings. So how did the Feast of Unleavened Bread come to be called Passover? Could that be why there is so much confusion even today? Because people read these scriptures, they don't have answers for them, and it becomes confused. Luke chapter 22, verse 8. It says, "And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?'" Verse 10. "And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" What did Christ call it? He called it the Passover, which is important. "Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." And then verse 13. "So they went and found it just as he said to them, and they prepared the Passover." So here we have them preparing to eat the Passover. We have them preparing to eat the Passover. So as I said, I'm not going to explain these scriptures today. All that was a tease. It was like last week I mentioned the book of Peter, and then we mentioned some verses from there or some points there, and then we jumped over to John, and one person lost the feed from the cybercast at that point. He thought we were going to spend the time in Peter, but in fact, we didn't. We went to John and finished up in John. So I didn't mean to be deceptive, and I'm not trying to be today. We will answer these questions here in a sermon that we'll give in the future. So when you look at these scriptures, it looks confusing, and as I said, many people have become confused about this topic today. A number of independent groups have become confused, and so what they've done is develop their own practices and basically follow the Jewish model in keeping the Passover. And the question is, should the Passover be the night of the 14th when Christ took the Passover and instituted the New Testament Passover? So should we follow Christ's example? What should we do? Or should it be observed on the 15th, the evening of the 15th, as the Jews do today and have been doing so for 2,000 years? So which model do we follow? Some claim that the Jews and the people of God have always kept the Passover with the lamb slain on the afternoon of the 14th. And the Passover was eaten by Israel at the beginning of the 15th. That's a view that's out there. And their view is that Israel ate the lamb on the 15th, and the angel came through and at midnight, and Israel came out of Egypt on the 15th, and the Jews maintains that the slaying of the lambs, the passing through of the death angel, and the death of the firstborn, and the Exodus all happened in one night, the 15th. So, is that how it happened? It all happened in one night? Then they then say that the Passover commemorates Israel coming out of Egypt. That's what the Jewish community says today. So this was, if you go back into the past, into our former association, for those of you who were in the Worldwide Church of God, that was not our position then, and it's not our position now, and hasn't been for the 25 years that United has existed. So did the events of the Passover and coming out of Egypt occur in one night or in two nights? It's important to understand this so that you can understand how this all plays out. So, question, when was the Old Testament Passover lamb killed? At the beginning of the 14th, right after sunset? Or was it in the afternoon of the 14th, as most Jews claim? Which is it? Can you prove it? Can you figure it out? Another question, could the Jews be wrong? They could, as we'll see. So, were they wrong? And some say, well, they were God's people. Certainly they had to be right. We'll examine that question. And did the Jews of Christ's time recognize him as the promised Messiah? They saw him. This is it. The Lamb of God is here. And when John announced that, they said, yes, he's right. No, they didn't react that way. They sought to kill him. Going on, another question. Did Christ, during his ministry, condemn many of the Jews? And as you look at the scriptures, he absolutely did. Let's look at one example in Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. And in these verses, Christ condemns the Jews in three specific areas. Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. There it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, why did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other things you do. So did Christ condemn the spiritual leaders of the Jews? Yes, he did. He called them hypocrites. He told them that they were teaching wrong doctrines. Instead of the right doctrines, they were teaching commandments of men, and they held the traditions of men. So he condemned them in three distinct ways. So what's the answer to these questions that we've posed? We should be able to answer this because God's commandments in this regard have been preserved for us in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, so let's turn to Exodus 12 and we'll begin to find the answers that we need to these questions. Exodus chapter 12. As you look at Exodus 12, it talks about the lamb and the sacrifice and gives us details which are crucial to answer the questions we've been asking. Exodus chapter 12. And it talks about in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So this is what God set up when he brought Israel out, was bringing Israel out of Egypt. He established what the first month was. And as he's going through Passover, he spells that out for them. And so he says in verse 3, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb." And the lambs were to be between 8 days old and 1 year, somewhere between that time. So each man was to take a lamb for himself according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. It'll be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So he says, on the 10th day of the month, you're to pick a lamb out. One lamb for a household. So each household was to pick a lamb, and if the household was too small, then share the lamb with your neighbor. But you were to pick a lamb on the 10th day of the month. And you could select it from the goats or the sheep. And then in verse 6, Exodus 12, verse 6. "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." At twilight. That's what it says in my Bible, which is a New King James Version Bible. If it's a King James, it would be evening. Twilight, evening, they express the same thing. But a very specific time is being given to us as to when the lambs were to be slain. The best translation is found in the New Jerusalem Bible. It's also found in some other translations, but the New Jerusalem Bible spells out what it is. And it says that phrase there, at twilight, could be translated more accurately, between the evenings. As in your Bible, it might actually say that. In some Bibles, it says between the evenings. The meaning is simply that the entire congregation, without any exception, was to slay the lamb at a particular time. To slay that lamb at a particular time between the two evenings. Or another translation says, in the evening at sunset. That's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. Between the two evenings, or at twilight, is actually a Hebrew phrase, rather than a Hebrew word. And that's why I gave you the handout, because it spells out what that is. It's not a word, but it is a phrase. And I'm going to do my best to say it, because Hebrew is not my language, but it should approximate what's on your paper. It's at twilight, or between the two evenings, is Bain Ha Arbarim, and you can look on your handout and it'll show you those words, all right, those letters. And Strong's only translate words, not phrases, so when you look at the Strong's Concordance, it's really not going to help you. There are three interpretations of this phrase, and I'll begin with the interpretations, the least accepted one first. So what does two evenings mean? It's talking about between the two evenings. When it says at twilight, it's talking about between the two evenings. So what does that mean? And there are at least three understandings of that. First of all, this is the least accepted. Two evenings means between the sunset on the 14th and sunset on the 15th. And there aren't very many people that accept that, but that's one that is out there to choose from. The most widely accepted meanings are the following. The first of those widely accepted meanings between the two evenings is the first evening being around noon. Being around noon, or just after noon, when the sun has reached its peak and begins its descent. So this is one of the interpretations. The second evening being sunset. With this interpretation, the lambs would have been killed between noon and sunset. And the afternoon of the 14th, this is the Jewish interpretation today, when the temple lambs were slain at the time of Christ. So they had been sacrificing the lambs for years on the afternoon of the 14th. And I explained in the past how that got started. And they were still going to do that at the time Christ was executed. However, there's some question about whether they actually got that done because of the tear in the earthquake, the upset in the temple with stones falling, and the curtain there in the temple ripping from top to bottom. So that sort of messed up the priest, and they may have deviated from standard operating procedure. So anyway, they said during the time of twilight, the period of twilight can last from 30 to 90 minutes, and that's what we're looking at here. You have what would be called sunset, and then it's not completely dark then. It's between the two evenings. So the sun sets, and then you have time between that point at the evening and the total darkness. And in Jerusalem, that would last from about 45 to 60 minutes. For instance, it may be sunset on the, you know, calendar or on your watch or whatever, but it's not completely dark. But the sun's gone, and there's still light, and it allows you to do different things before it's completely dark. 3,500 years ago, when God told Israel to kill the lambs between the two evenings, everyone would have understood what that meant. But we, living in 2020, when somebody says that the lambs were killed between the two evenings, what does that mean? We don't know. And we can even look at this particular wording that I mentioned here and is on your chart. And I can't read Hebrew, so we're going to struggle to figure that out and fully understand it. So we're going to find the answer to this. What does that phrase mean? And I think you'll be encouraged by the outcome. Let's go to Exodus 12 and look at verse 6. Begin in verse 6, and we'll go through verse 6 and end in verse 8. It says in beginning in verse 6, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." So there was a specific time that they were to kill the lambs. It was at twilight or between the two evenings. "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." So they were to kill the lambs at a certain time. They were to get some of the blood, and they were to put it on the doorpost and the lintel. So a question. "To eat the lamb that night with unleavened bread. Does that mean it was the night of the 15th? Because for us, don't we sometimes eat unleavened bread along with lamb? Is that what it's referring to, the night of the 15th? Was this at the beginning of the 7 days of unleavened bread, as most Jews believe?" So, with this question in mind, we have to let the Bible interpret the Bible. And we know that in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, it gives us a particular principle, talking about precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So it's not all in one place. You've got to look at various scriptures and put the scriptures together in order to come up with the right answer to this, the questions that we've posed. So this will be our guideline. We're going to look at different scriptures, and we can see what's said there, and then we can take those scriptures and answer the questions that we've asked. So just because God instructed them to eat unleavened bread with the Passover doesn't necessarily mean it is tied in with the 7 days of unleavened bread. There's a specific reason why God said to eat the Passover with unleavened bread. Do we still do that? When we have the Passover, do we eat unleavened bread, that little bit of unleavened bread as we take the Passover? Yes, we do. And there's a specific reason, because of what it symbolizes. So let's look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. Exodus 12, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. Its head and its legs and its entrails, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it, until morning you shall burn with fire." So, question, how could they have burned the remains with fire if they remained until if any remained until morning, if they were leaving Egypt right after eating the Passover lamb? How could they do that? So if they're supposed to eat the Passover lamb that night and then the next day, if there was any remaining to burn it, how are they going to do that and leave the land of Egypt? So this poses a serious problem for those who advocate that Israel left Egypt and the Passover, it was all a one-night affair, and they left on the 15th. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. Exodus 12, verse 11. It says, "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So they were to have a belt on their waist, staff in their hand, and to eat in haste. So isn't this telling us they were all dressed up and ready to go, so as soon as they ate, they hit the road? Is that what the verse is saying? It seems to be saying that, but there might be a little bit better understanding of what Moses was inspired to write. Haste in the Hebrew, in Strong's, can mean haste. But the word is derived from a Hebrew root, and it means to start up slowly. Start up suddenly. I apologize for that. It also means to fear or tremble. So they're to start up suddenly, and it also has to do with fearing and trembling. It is haste that is associated with fear, trembling, and trepidation. So they're going to sacrifice this lamb. They're going to take some of the blood to cover to put it on the lintel and the doorpost. And why are they doing that? They're doing it because God is going to come through the land and God is going to kill the firstborn. And it could be your firstborn if you didn't put the blood on your doorpost and your lintel. So they knew that this was a life or death proposition. And so they did it in haste, and they did it with fear and trepidation, trembling, because they knew that God was going to come through the land and kill the firstborn. And as you think about that, that would cause any of us fear and trepidation, I think. So having their sandals on, their belt and their staff didn't mean that they were leaving immediately after the angel passed over. It simply meant that they were ready to leave. They were ready to leave, and they needed to be prepared. So, and you have to look at the complete picture here in order to understand it, because I think a lot of people believe they put their sandals and all of this on because they were going to leave immediately, which they did not. So what does the Passover commemorate? That's the next question we want to ask. What does the Passover commemorate? Does it commemorate the Exodus, leaving Egypt? Does it commemorate the Exodus, leaving Egypt? What, as you look at it, what event is commemorated? Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, where it tells us that what they were observing here in sacrificing the lamb and putting the blood on the doorpost, it was the Lord's Passover. The Lord passed over. It is Passover. And then it says, beginning in chapter 12, verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when you see I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. It says God will pass over to slay the firstborn. And as we well know, Israel wasn't any better than the Egyptians. But God had shown them how that they could escape death by putting the blood on their doors. So the Passover commemorates what? It commemorates God passing over the people of Israel. And it reminds us of what God does for you and me. We deserve to die because of our sins. But God, because of the blood, passes over you and me. So this was a type that was going to play out for us as well. So God passed over them, and he struck the Egyptians and delivered the people of Israel from that the death penalty. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. So coming out of Egypt is not commemorated by the Passover. That was not what was taking place on the night of the 14th. God was passing over their sins and not in causing them to die because of their sins. And as you look at coming out of Egypt, that's commemorated by the first day of unleavened bread, as we'll see. Now, since the Passover was designated to be on the 14th day of the first month, would not the events that it commemorates also have occurred on the 14th day of the first month? And that's most assuredly true. So the question is, when was between the two evenings? How do you understand that? How do you figure that out from the scriptures? So let's answer that. As we know, between the two evenings is when the lambs were slain. And is there a usage of that phrase that tells us, and it gives us the answer to what that means, so we can put it all together and see what between the two evenings means? So what specific time does it designate for the killing of the lambs? Now, a key to understanding this is found in Exodus chapter 16. In Exodus chapter 16, which talks about the Day of Atonement. But before going there, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26, where it gives us a definition about timing found in the book of Leviticus and associated with atonement and really all the Sabbaths. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26. So this is an important principle to understand about the Sabbath. And in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26, it talks about the Day of Atonement. And let's go down to verse 32. Verse 32. And as you look at verse 32, it says, "It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest." Rest, speaking of atonement. "And you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening." Because atonement is on the tenth day of the month. So the Sabbath would begin at the end of the ninth. And that would be evening. And it says, "From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath." Evening to evening. So on the ninth, as evening came, that would be sunset, and the Day of Atonement would begin. And the next evening would be when the Day of Atonement ended, at sunset. So the Hebrew word for at evening is ba erev. Ba erev, B-A-E-R-E-V, which is part of that long phrase that we talked about that I can't pronounce. Ba erev, meaning at evening. Ba means at, erev means evening. And so this refers to entering the dark period of the day, when it's going to get dark. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 32 tells us we are to fast beginning at ba erev, or at sunset. From sunset to sunset, we are to keep the Day of Atonement, and we're to keep the weekly Sabbath and the annual Sabbath. They all begin at sunset and end at sunset. So this Ba'arev is something that's important for us to understand if we're thinking about this principle, and it means at sunset. And this helps us to unlock the meaning of between the two evenings. And so with that scriptural understanding in mind, let's go to Exodus chapter 16 and see the meaning of between the two evenings. Exodus chapter 16, and let's begin in verses 1 and 2. Exodus 16, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. So in Exodus 16 is where God is dealing with Israel, and God explains that about keeping the Sabbath and about the manna. And so God is at this point testing them. It says in Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt." So they're a month out from coming out of Egypt. "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." So things weren't going well for the people of Israel, so they began complaining to Moses and Aaron. So they arrived at the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day of the second month. And on the 15th day of the second month, they began to complain right after they arrived. And we will see that the 15th day of the second month was a weekly Sabbath. So it's the 15th day of the second month, and it is a weekly Sabbath. Chapter 16, verse 3. "And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" And we're familiar with this complaining. And then verse 4. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day," this is verse 5, "on the sixth day that you shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to the children of Israel, 'At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" So where it says at evening there, the Hebrew is Ba'arev, and it means at sunset. It means at sunset. And then verses 7 and 8. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord, but what are we that you complain against us? Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him, and what are you? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." And the Hebrew words translated in the evening in those verses are Ba'arev, or sunset, as defined in Leviticus 23, verse 32. So this is sunset at the end of the weekly Sabbath. Verse 9, Exodus 16, verse 9. "Then Moses spoke to Aaron, 'Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints.' Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation, the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So at twilight, that is between the two evenings, you shall eat meat. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Isn't that when he said he would give them the manna each day? So they would be filled with bread in the morning. The Hebrew phrase translated at twilight is the phrase bin ha-arborim, between the two evenings. And between the two evenings you shall eat meat. So when does it say that this time period begins? When does bin ha-arborim, between the two evenings, begin? When does it begin? Verse 13 tells us. When it begins, Exodus 13, so it was that quails came up at evening, at sunset, and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. That is the manna. So the quails came up at evening, ba'arev. God sent the quail at evening or at sunset, and as the Sabbath was ending and a new day was beginning. Now the question is, why didn't God send the quail before sunset? Why didn't God send the quail before sunset? Because, just imagine for a second, what would the people of Israel be doing when the quail came at sunset? They'd all be saying, let's grab those quail and kill them and eat them because they were really hungry. And God said, can't do that because I know how these people are going to react, so we'll wait and I'll send the quail at sunset. And they can grab the quail, they can slaughter them, they can prepare them and eat them between the two evenings because it's sunset, so the Sabbath is over. So God knew the right way to proceed because he knew what they would do. These people were craving meat. You know, it's like we crave whatever, and so God says, wait until after sunset. So God did not send the quail before sunset in order that the people would not be tempted to break the Sabbath. So he sent them at sunset, and then they were able to slaughter them. So he sent them at sunset, and they could slaughter them between the two evenings. The Bain Ha-Arborim, and that's what it says in verse 12. Clearly the quail are sent at sunset and are to be eaten, Bain Ha-Arborim. I'm going to get better at that. By the time I'm done with this, I'll actually maybe be able to get it close to right. But anyway, between the two evenings in verse 13. So they were to slaughter them at sunset and eat them between the two evenings. So the first evening of the phrase Ba, between the two evenings, begins at sunset, as it was used and understood back then. So it begins at sunset. It's the period between the sun setting and total darkness. It's the twilight period at the end of the day and at the beginning of a new day. Okay, so the day is ending and the sun's going down, and so between that time the sun goes down and darkness is what that phrase is talking about. So when, with that information in mind, when were the Passover lambs killed? They were to kill the lamb at twilight, Bain Ha-Arborim, between the two evenings, to kill the lambs between sunset and total darkness at the very beginning of the 14th. At the very beginning of the 14th. They did not kill the lambs on the afternoon of the 14th as the Jews slaughter the lambs according to their tradition. That's how they were doing it in Christ's time. But if you note, Christ didn't do that, did he? And there were actually other people that were on, had that same understanding, and it wasn't just the temple Passover that was taking place. You had people sacrificing at the same time Christ was sacrificing, and they were eating the meal. So, as you look at Vine's expository dictionary of Bible words, it says this about evening: the phrase between the two evenings means the period between sunset and darkness or twilight. And so to properly understand the events of the Passover, we have to understand when the Passover lambs were killed. and they were killed at a particular time. They were killed Bain Ha'arbarim between the two evenings, between sunset and total darkness at the very beginning of the 14th, which means what in regard to when they were eaten, as it says in chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. It says that they ate the flesh on that night, the night of the 14th, not on the night of the 15th. They ate the flesh that night of the 14th, not on the night of the 15th. And one more interesting fact that I'll make note of here before closing about the manna in Exodus chapter 16. Let's read Exodus 16 verses 4 and 5. And then we'll read verses 14 through 21. Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So on Friday, gather twice as much, so you're ready for the Sabbath. Verse 14 of chapter 16. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" That's what manna means. What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person according to the number of persons, and let every man take for those who are in his tent." Verse 17, "Then the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it till morning.'" That seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Certainly they listened to what Moses had to say and followed his instruction. Well, let's see if that's true. Verse 20, "Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. Beginning the morning after the 15th, which was the Sabbath." It was a Sabbath. So God began giving them manna on the 16th day of the second month. Exodus 16, verse 22. Exodus 16, verse 22. "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.' So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it." This meant that the Sabbath was on the 22nd day of the second month. And if you make note of that and you work backwards, what you find out is that the 14th day of the first month in the year of the Exodus was a Wednesday, the same day on which Christ died. The same day on which Christ died. Now, when you look at this, you think, that's just a coincidence. And how can you really prove that? But if you look at the way God works things out, God's quite good at timing, and the timing is important. So I gave you a couple of other sheets there. I gave you the Jewish perspective on this term, Baha Arim, and also So you can see that, and you can see their perspective, and you can see our understanding of that. And next time, we'll look at the timing of Christ's death as the Passover lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and we'll see how that played out. And to me, it's just a kind of a wonderful thing when you look at what God works out and for us to be able to understand it. And so hopefully it will give you more meaning as we keep the Passover this year. So hopefully you found that interesting. We will continue this next week and seek to better understand it, because I can, you know, I've done things like give you the chart, and then we never get back to the chart. So we're going to finish the chart and then move on.